What is up, everybody? I am going to do my best tonight to get through this. I have I've got cough drops. I've got some sweet honey water. I've got
sweet honey water.
The fellas here to help me out.
Going sounding like rough, Ronald Reagan.
Yeah, going through a little rough patch with the voice.
I got the fellas here helping me out.
It was it was bad yesterday. I sent these guys an audio clip. Jeremy will be with us as soon as camera updates.
Yeah, let's play that. So everybody knows what you sounded like yesterday and why we were concerned this might not happen this evening.
Let me see. I could probably pull it up in the text chat, right? It was pretty.
Del Boca Vista.
I was calling bingo numbers. How far back did that go? Good Lord. That was just yesterday, right?
You guys got the Boca Vista reference.
It probably disappeared.
Right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Seinfeld.
Just making sure.
Anyways, welcome to the Chasing Daylight podcast. We had an excellent weekend of golf. The Vegas Golf Network kicked off its 2024 season out at Las Vegas National. Jake Knapp won in Mexico, the smoothest swing on tour that just absolutely obliterates the ball. The Liv boys are back in the news because they're talking more crap about Rory and his lack of being able to claim his Grand Slam if he wins the Masters, as he wasn't playing against the best players in the world, which is just absolutely ridiculous. What'd you say, Dan? Stay in your lane, Taylor Gooch?
Yeah, for real.
Good.
Dude, that was so bad. That guy, that's the second time he's opened his mouth, and it just didn't make sense.
It's terrible. Terrible. And they just need to shut the hell up.
Yeah.
And, you know, we didn't even, last week, we didn't even talk about Sunday Red.
Yeah, we did.
And
not.
That was Tiger's product line, apparel line came out. So, Dan, we all talked about the logo, but after you saw the gear, what did you think about what you saw?
It was okay. I mean, some of the stuff was kind of nice. I didn't mind like the details in it, like the little logos and stuff, because I'm not a big logo guy myself. But like the little tigers where you had them hidden and stuff, and the shoes. I was a fan of the shoes. But yeah, I mean, would I personally rock it? I'm not sure. Yeah, I mean, for the most part, I thought his clothes was nice. It's just, you know, too bad he had a withdrawal, kind of made that whole little release in the weekend kind of fall flat.
Yeah. What do you think those shoes are going to go for? If you had to guess.
250.
Yeah. 250, 300.
300. Yeah. That's what I'm thinking.
I think from everything I've seen, it's like, I think they're paying closer attention than the current, clothing companies that are out there currently. Like, they got little hits on the collar or on the rim of the sweater. You know, there's like a little embroidery of some red. I think they're doing like a really good job of like subtle hints across it to make it seem like it's, you know, better than a lot of other companies, because most companies just throw their logo on there on the chest or on the sleeve and they're done with it. I think there's a lot of really good hints in Sunday Red that can make it seem better. I mean, even Grayson doesn't do anything too crazy. Like, when I was a big like hip hopper back in the day, I used to love LRG, and I used to just love how they would put like a little tag on the sleeve or at the bottom left of the t-shirt or whatever, and I think they're doing a really good job at that.
I had an Ashford polo when Freddie Couples was with them, and it was numbered. It was like 6 of 50, and where the buttons are, when you take the buttons off, it had Freddie Couples' signature down there. And it was pretty sweet. And I'm surprised more brands don't do like stuff like that. I mean, they'll do a limited run of things, but like, you know, select, I don't know, I guess a limited run is that, but I don't know, that I thought was unique, and I haven't seen too many other brands do anything like that.
Yeah. I think you need to do that nowadays to stand out. Like, I mean, I think Travis Matthew does it in their fly where it's like a caution sign or something like that. Like,
well, they have, you know, stuff like in their zippers that are fun, and
little things like that just make it more unique and more premium to the user. And I think you need to do things like that.
Dude, the Ralph Lauren Ryder Cup pants were sick. they had so many extra details that you couldn't, you only saw them when you were cleaning there, pulling out the laundry or stuff. Cause it was like the inside lining had details, and the pockets, the inside of the pockets on the inside of the pants had details. And I mean, way over the top, so unnecessary. Cause I mean, you're never going to see it, but as a, limited edition pant, that was kind of cool.
From what I've heard, also Sunday Red's going straight like direct to consumer. They're not planning on being in shops or stores. So,
but there's plenty of space for them in Golf Galaxy. I can tell you.
Yeah, I mean, totally. But that's interesting, right? Because you have to really want it. You're not going to get to be able to touch it or see it in person or try it on. And there's going to be people that purchase it, but it's a different market. So, I'm curious to see, like, because they haven't even launched yet, right?
It's May, I think, right? Or April?
Yeah.
It's gonna be fun to see, man.
So other thing that happened, well, let's get into some Vegas Golf Network, because there may be some guys hanging out that are with us that were out at National on Sunday. What was your guys's? I got a ton of feedback from a lot of people. Heard some really good things. Didn't really hear anything negative from anybody. Which, I mean, with that large of a field, our largest one we've ever had, I was expecting some blowback from a couple people, but nothing really. If there was, they kept it to themselves. So what was your guy, Jeremy? How did you feel everything went? You were there all day with me.
Yeah. No, I think everything tournament wise went really well. Like I was saying in our chat, like ton of, the new guys came up and just said how happy they were and how awesome it was to get to play with some cool guys and how organized it was. And so I think we can put on a good show for sure.
Yeah.
So I think really positive, and people are really referring other people to join. I think the first tournament kind of gave them a taste and they saw how good it was. And I think we're probably going to see an influx.
That's what I'm hoping for. Well, I tell you, the next two events were, the first one at Prim was filling up and it's full now with a wait list, and same thing with Mountain Falls. I did not think we were going to get to 60 players to go out to Mountain Falls, but we are there with plus. So hopefully they can accommodate some more of us, because I'm telling you, it's awesome, man. It's awesome seeing everybody excited about it. And I think, like you said, everybody had a good time, and a lot of the new people, I think, needed to see how it was before they start talking to their friends saying, hey, you need to come do this.
Yeah, I think it was great. I played with two new members. They were both really cool, Jim and Drew. Drew lives on the course, which was awesome to just see his house. And I've strolled by his house many a times, and I noticed that he had his backyard redone because I've seen it so many times. And it was a good time, man. I love National. It was fun.
Okay, so Jeremy and Dan, you guys went out early. The course was a little bit wetter for you guys. I noticed Sean Rowe today had a post about he played out at Boulder Creek and played at National, and he said the greens were a soggy 7 on the stem.
At National?
Yeah. Did you think they were that slow?
Yeah, especially the uphills. Like, Dan left a few uphill putts like 8 to 10 feet short. Like, it was insane. Like, you couldn't hit hard.
I could not get myself to hit the ball hard enough to get up some of those hills. I struggled on the greens all day, though.
So did I.
Yeah?
I thought the greens were trash.
They were so... I hated them. Totally, Joe. I hated them, too.
Wow. I'm so surprised to hear that.
I putted pretty well. The short ones I think I struggled with. Yeah,
it's a damn good putter.
I'm a damn good putter. No, the ones I struggled on was the shorter ones, like, because they just... without pace, they just bobble around and shoot off line.
Yeah.
So
they were hairy. They were so hairy. It was like the shave. Oh,
no, shave. I don't think they were that hairy.
Are you insane?
Seriously. I
are you nuts?
Dude, compared to hairy Prim? To you? Compared to Prim?
Prims were better
Prims are better. Greens.
See, I just didn't see it that way.
You're nuts.
Yeah, 3-1.
Okay.
I think you were so giddy with your putter.
Yeah.
That could be it.
In jubilee of a fucking some AI face shit.
Yeah, the putts that I missed like short was it's because I didn't hit it well. It wasn't because it was a slow green.
Greens are trash.
Wow. Okay. That's good to know. I did not think they were that bad.
I didn't make it to the practice green beforehand. First green, par five. I felt them. I went like this with my hand, just like these are very hairy. They're gonna be very slow. I did cheat. I didn't win, so it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
Oh, you didn't beat me
either. I also changed my weight on the first tee because you told me after I hit my drive that the lower weight was in the front, so I changed that. So that's also disqualification off the bat.
I'm taking your points away.
Yeah, you can take the 10 points. It's fine.
It's 30.
But I moved my hand across. I was like, oh, they're probably going to be slow. And I was going uphill, so I hammered it, and it went past like 12 feet. I was like, what the fuck's going on? It took me 17 and a half holes to figure out what was going on with those greens. I had no clue. I was seeing shit that wasn't there. Everything was basically straight. Unless you were on a fucking hill, I had no idea what to do on it. And usually I'm a good player out at National because I know where to play it and I know where it typically breaks to and I can feel it and I see it.
Now, there was some really tough pins.
That's true. The pins were tough.
They had everything tucked. They were right on the edge. I mean, I screwed myself on three because I pulled my tee shot and hit the side of the hill and went down into the oleanders. And I had to hack it out to get up into the rough. And I'm like, fuck. You know, Vic's like, oh, I thought you were going to take more clubs than that. I said, yeah, I didn't want to shoot it across the green, though. But I was like in the rough uphill and had like 3 feet to work with. I'm like, this isn't going to go well.
Yeah. Yeah. The green.
And four, where they put the pin on four, far back left. I've never seen it there.
I've never seen it back there.
I mean, that
I've never
seen
some of those pins. I remember
it was a great location, you know. Yeah, but I tried to hit a high draw into that with a five iron because I put it in the ditch off the tee, and it stayed straight.
So you were in position.
Oh yeah, total position. After I send a five wood 200 yards up the middle of the foot off the ground, but I covered the bunker on the right, and so I had the whole green to work with, and I hit a chip shot to, you know, 2 feet, and I was like, I said, if the greens were trash, that wouldn't have happened. I thought they rolled okay.
You just got lucky. No, they were terrible. They were shitty.
But other than that, we had a great day.
Everybody putted on the same greens, so no excuses on that front.
Hey, Big Matt's on IG. You got to chime in. Let us know what you thought of the greens, because the consensus here, 3-1, is that they were trash, and I'm in the minority. Yeah, I didn't think they were that bad.
I'm watching your comment. How are the greens? But I would rather play prim greens 100% over those.
No, I'm just talking about when because the prim greens were furry that one time we played recently. They were
different,
they were
furry,
slow.
Very different furry,
pure furry.
Yeah, like they were like sprouting into different directions. Like Nationals, it was like you had calyx. Those greens were calicky, you know. Like Prim's greens are furry; they're slow. But
look, Stephen agrees with me. Best greens in Vegas.
I think he's talking about Prim.
I think, yeah. The greens were the same for everyone. Yes, that's true, but they were fucking sprouty, man, and you didn't know what the hell was going to happen. That's the thing. Prim's greens were furry, but they were slow, and they did what they needed to do, but out at National, you didn't know what the fuck they were going to do. That's my thing. Whatever. All right, okay. We'll stop it there. Big Matt said trash also.
Trash. Or that's like a bucket.
Yeah, he's draining everything.
anyway, so the next event is out at Prim, and hopefully the furry pure greens will be in great shape, and you know, we've got another 68 players, hopefully 72, that'll be making their way out to state line. buy some lotto tickets and play some golf. So
stop at the Ralph Lauren outlet with like two employees that work there.
It is hard to find employees at places nowadays.
Yes.
100%. It's like rough. I can see why retail and Amazon is just killing everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Matt said he's doing skins this time.
Always do skins.
Always do skins.
Yeah. Always. We're in Vegas. Gamble. Always gamblers.
Hey, and I sent an email out to everybody in the VGN about our second raffle that was announced. So make sure you get involved in that.
Yes.
It's a good one. Desert. It's a good one. It's a good one. So, all right. So let's get into Anthony Kim, because I don't know how to look at this. I never was like an Anthony Kim is the next big thing to happen in golf. I don't get this hype that's happening about it. You guys are a little bit younger generation than me. Maybe it resonates with you a little bit more, but what's your thoughts on Anthony Kim making his LIV debut this weekend?
I mean, I remember him, but he didn't play that long. I remember his style. That's pretty much it. I really don't remember watching him much. I don't, it's a cool story, of course, like making a big comeback. He, you know, hasn't played for 11 years or whatever it is, but I just think they're just grasping for something. I don't know. It's just weird. Like you see it everywhere and it's like, he's like a god now. It's odd to me.
I don't get it.
Yeah. I hope he does well and it's cool. Like the story, but I don't know. I think I'm in the minority though. I don't think a lot of people feel the same. I'm scared to voice my opinion.
Dan, you go, because I'm gonna speak like as an outsider that I've never seen him. I've only seen clips of him. So you go.
Well, I don't think I'm really like super excited to see him, but you know, when he was in his prime, he was still in the Tiger era. So even for as good as a golfer as he was, it was still overshadowed by Tiger. And, you know, yeah, he was a really good American golfer. And I think just the fact that he just fell off the face of the earth was like the most like, well, what the hell? Why? You know, what happened to him? Why would you leave when you're at the top of your game? So for 10, 11 years now, that's all been, I mean, we know now because it was the insurance thing, but for 10, 11 years, you know, it's like a lot of people are just wondering, like, if he still got it, I think. And I think that's why it's getting so hyped up is, you know, he went out on top as one of the top players. Does he still have that game to come back? But we'll see. I mean, I'll, you know, I probably won't be watching, but I'll, you know, keep track of my phone to see what he's doing.
Oh, you're not going to tune into the Caffeine Network?
Yeah, no.
Did you hear that? They launched a new
Yep. I did see that.
Yeah, well, Dan didn't get in his credentials, so he's not on the media list, so he's not getting the emails.
Yep, no.
What is Caffeine thing? Is that a streaming app or is it a channel? A
sports streaming thing, whatever. No. Whatever it is. Anyway, shout out Brian Orr in the chat.
Yeah, what's up, Brian?
Go buy a print from Brian Orr, one of the greatest photographers in golf. I thought I turned that off.
Nice balloons, Joe.
Yeah.
Happy birthday, Joe.
Happy birthday, yeah. Joe.
Is it doing it with a peace sign? Why is it peace? It should be like fucking. I should see Grateful Dead.
I think there's a thumbs up one too. If you do a thumbs up, it.
I turned it off the other day because
there it is. Yeah.
Oh my goodness. What does it do?
Excited that Brian was in.
Choke up like Anthony Kim.
Yeah. Don't. Yeah.
Anyway,
careful what you do with your hands.
Anyway, I'll speak to the Anthony Kim situation like as an outsider. I never saw him play, right? But I've heard this story of this, you know, this player from back in the day that, you know, whooped that ass at the Ryder Cup and did all this, and he had the belt buckles and he had flair. I'm excited to see him, right? Like, I don't have high expectations for him to do anything, but I do want to see him play, you know, because as people that came into the game later, we hear this mystique of this player that was charismatic and energetic, and he was a character, and he boosted the game. I want to see that, and I'm excited for that. Now, do I think that he's going to do anything special? No, right? But I want to see if he can carry that same charisma. What is it, 12, 13, 14 years later? You know, if he can do that, that's going to be really cool. Like, if he can go into LIV and capture the moment and be the Anthony Kim that we've heard of, that would be sick. I don't care if he double bogeys a hole or if he shoots 85, but I want to see him be that character. And if he can do that, I think he's going to capture the hearts of the golfers that didn't get to see him play. I don't think he needs to play well. I think he needs to be the Anthony Kim that people fell in love with back in the day. You know what I'm saying? If that makes sense.
Just with more tattoos, right?
Yeah. And I'm excited to see his like press conferences too. Like, how is he going to answer questions? Why he's been gone so long? Who has he been working with? How much money has he cleaned up in skins games? Like, we need those questions to be answered. Like, why did he leave? Like, because it was just like gone. He was gone, right? Nobody actually knows what happened. Like, he got hurt and then it was like an insurance claim or whatever. Like, I think if we can get some closure to that, like people that really loved him, I think it can move the needle, right? I think probably in Jeddah, more people are going to watch this LIV tournament than any other LIV tournament that's happened because of this. So it could bring people to the sport. It could be, or to the tournament or the league. And I think it could be good for them, especially if he plays well. If he's at the top, like, it's going to be really good. And he doesn't have to go balls out and play crazy. But if he's like top 10, like, and he's hitting some shots and he's got some stuff going on, it could be really good. But I'm really excited because all of us that came into the game later, we've only heard of the story. And now we get to see the myth in action. I'm not expecting much, but I'm excited to see it.
I don't know. I don't know what to think. I mean, he left for a money grab, right? Here's this policy that if you don't play golf, you're going to get this much money. Okay. Not going to play golf and get paid. Okay. This is like, that's what LIV is, not playing golf and getting paid. You can go out and shoot 86 and your team finish, you know, and make some money. It's, I don't know. It doesn't.
Well, we also don't know what team he's on yet.
Oh, he's a free agent or whatever they call it. I don't know. It's just another money grab. And it's just another, hey, we need ratings. And hey, now I think if he was truly passionate about wanting to come back and compete and play golf, you'd see him on the PGA Tour. But there's no pressure. If he comes, I just don't think he wants to compete and play golf as a professional and, you know, do this skill set that he has at the top of his game to go against the best players in the world. You wouldn't have left if that was your passion and your desires.
But do we know why he left?
I mean, I don't know personally. It's all what I've read.
And this is what LIV is going to give us, right? Somebody in that press conference needs to ask that. Somebody needs to ask, why did you leave and why did you come back? And that will tell us the story. And if he answers it truthfully, it's going to capture the hearts of many. Do the heart thing, Mac. There we go.
Oh, that is so bad. That is so bad.
I did turn it off, just so you know.
He's with Joe, a golfer that got in the sport like 10 years ago. I never saw him play. Honestly, never heard of him until all this.
You need to watch the... I can't even think of a fucking name now. The Ryder Cup captain, where he says, I'm going to beat that ass. Eisenberger, or Zinger. He's like,
I told you I was gonna whoop that ass. I told you I was gonna whoop that ass, Zinger.
The Ryder Cup when he wanted Sergio or whatever it was.
Yeah, and then failed.
There's a lot of stories of AK. Go back, watch the stories of AK, and then you'll understand the mystique of the player.
I don't know. I think it's a lot of overhype.
It is, and it will be, and it'll probably fizzle, but, you know.
That's what I'm saying. If if it wasn't just hyped up, get ratings, let's bring AK back, you know, if he truly wanted to be a professional golfer and play and compete, he's going to come back to the PGA Tour. This gives him an option to go make some money, play some golf, get some fanfare, maybe land a endorsement deal with somebody, throw some money in his bank, and, you know, finish out his career.
Totally. I mean, a lot of us have heard that it's like an insurance premium thing. Big Matt commented, but is that really what happened? And I think that's just part of the mystique. Like, is that what happened? Or did you get hurt? Or nobody knows what actually happened.
This is like the Dateline episode we've been waiting for 15 years. And it's finally
right. It's like Seinfeld is back on NBC and there's a premiere coming, you know, like what happened to Kramer in Hollywood? Did he get a deal? Or who knows? I think it's just like it's an ongoing story. And there's just so much riddled in it. And it's interesting. I'm excited to watch. Right. So we'll see what happens.
Hey, and it's going to, I'm curious to see, when they're going to broadcast this, because I mean, being over on the other side of the planet, not exactly going to get killer ratings on the CW at 2 a.m.
Well, that's what someone said. It's like it's a good moment for him to make his return, because there's not going to be a lot of eyes on it, because it is going to be in the middle of the night.
Wouldn't you want the most possible eyes you could ever have?
I would think so.
On it,
I would think so.
It should have been in Vegas. It would have been crazy. Super Bowl weekend. Anthony Kim comes back.
Big old belt buckle.
He probably was like, I didn't like that golf course, so I'm not going to.
What did you think of his swing video?
I was more like, it looks like somebody grabbed a hippie off the beach and said, hey, will you go over there and stand here and swing a club?
I liked the hair. I liked the hair.
Oh, it was.
I liked the capri sweatpants chop off thing. But the swing looked AK swing. It was AK swing.
What else is it?
I don't know. Was at Sohi, wasn't it?
No, wasn't that was a couple weeks ago.
Sohi? Yeah.
But the one that was like,
new, yeah,
Jetta. I mean,
I didn't see that one.
Yeah, it's going around like the world.
AK swing.
It's blowing up today.
From any videos I've seen of him back in the day, it looked exactly the same.
His divot pattern was nice.
Yes, it was. That was really nice.
Yeah.
Groundskeeper would be happy about that.
Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, it could fizzle. It's going to fizzle, most likely. Is it a gimmick? Most likely.
Mark,
did they pay him a shit ton of money that they probably shouldn't have? Probably. But am I excited to see what happens? Absolutely. It's a story. And we're a podcast. And we like talking about stories. And
absolutely.
You know? Give us the deets and the story, and let us talk about it.
So the Masters is coming up. You know, we got the Players coming up before that, and the Masters major season's coming along. A lot of people had some mixed thoughts on Joaquin Niemann getting into the Masters. Anybody got any takes on that? I could care less. I mean,
I think it's fine. He won the Australian Open, and they've done that historically, invited players that have international players that have won international events. So
I mean, a lot of people are like, oh, they're caving. They know that the OWGR is fixed. And it's like, you know, Adam says a lot of stuff in our chat, and I don't always agree with him. But that was one thing. It's like, Augusta is going to get the players that they want there. Regardless.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It doesn't matter. Yeah. If they want that player, they're gonna be there.
They're gonna find a way. They're gonna invite them. I mean, that they have total control of that tournament. Mm-hmm. If they want you there, you'll be there.
And Okay.
I'd love to see more of those guys there. I mean, I miss seeing a lot of them. I mean, most of them will be there, but
yeah, because they're still, you know, from their major wins. Rom's never going to leave. DJ's always going to be there. Phil's always going to be there. Bryson's got
I think it was 20%. 20% of LIV players will be there. I think I saw.
Yeah.
Pretty much anyone I care to see there will be there, probably.
Right.
Yeah. Did you guys watch the match last night?
I tried a little bit. I didn't watch much because my TV's been taken over by Miss Rachel, but yeah, I tried.
Jeremy, did you watch any of it?
Yeah, I'm more of a highlight person when it comes to the match.
Yeah.
So I didn't watch it live, but I have a really hard time getting into that for some reason. Well, you'd think it would be like ideal for like a golf nut to, you know, love to watch, but
I think they're finally starting to realize we need to make this about the golf a little bit more than the personalities. Erica said to me last night, it was on, she's like, "Where's all the stars?" I'm like, that's the number two golfer in the world, one of the top young athletes in the, you know, golfers in the world, Rose Zhang, Max Homa's the top player, Lexi Thompson's one of the, you know, great and she's like, "No, where's Tom Brady?"
So I watched a couple holes, you know, and I want to play the park really bad, right?
Oh, because my goodness.
Of course, it's awesome.
With Gil Hance and Jim Wagner and all that. But I was watching and I was like, I wanted to like it, right? I watched a couple few holes. And I was like, I want to like this, but it was so boring to me because the personalities did not shine. Like, even Max Homa did not shine, and Max Homa is a shining personality, and it did not shine the way it should have. And I don't know what they need to do to bring that out of those guys.
They need to stop doing it live. This doesn't need to be a live event.
It
out.
For sure. It does not need to be.
They need to edit it and find all the good content, make it an hour, not 2.5 with the pre. They don't need an hour long pregame. You know, with DJ Khaled and Barkley playing a par three.
Yeah.
That's just it's stop. Not
the Super Bowl.
No, it's not.
It has a major identity crisis. I think that whole setup is just.
I think so they're trying though, because it was back to golfers this time. It was a skins game, which goes back to, you know, the shell skins games or whatever they used to do with.
Yeah.
You know, but I think if they take a page from Shell's Wonderful World of Golf and the skins game and make it a highlight reel. And then, I mean, I loved it when they were talking about the golf course. That was great. Yeah. You don't see that on anything.
Yeah. I think that's a good point. Like, take it back to Shell's Wonderful World of Golf. Like, I think, and they don't, you know, and I think they picked a great course to do this at, you know, and I think they need to continue on that pattern. Like,
I mean, so many new people know about that place now that had no idea.
Yeah, they don't need to play Wynn. They don't need to play Shadow Creek. They don't need to play Torrey Pines. They need to play these courses that people don't actually know about, and they're newer. And like back in the day with Pine Valley and, you know, what they did with Shell's Wonderful World of Golf, it was like, it was creating exposure to courses, you know, like, geez, what's going on? But like if they went to go play like Forest Dunes, and you know, they don't even need a crowd. They don't need attendance. Like, just go play it and highlight the courses. I think that's where they're missing out on.
Yeah, totally. But I think they're getting some feedback. I mean, they had Immelman and Christina Kim in the booth.
Yeah, yeah.
So the people that have golf knowledge, when Rory played that hole with the 5-wood and won with a par, you know, it was cool to see him. You know, he had a 179 yard shot that he had to hit with a 5-wood, and just to see him analyzing it and taking his time and then pulling it off. And Max was going, "Oh my God, that was so good." You know, and he's like, "Yeah, it's a stock 8-iron for me." You know, he's like, so it was, I mean, that was kind of a fun aspect. There was some good moments. I thought it was definitely better than the F1 shit show that took place during, you know, here in
yeah it was terrible.
That was horrible. It was better than any of the NFL guys against, you know, it does have an identity crisis. It needs help. He needs help.
I think Charles Barkley needs to stop. I'm a Charles Barkley fan from NBA stuff, but I could do without him on the next one.
Yeah, I think TNT, that's a big issue. Just them, the fact that they host that event.
Yeah.
And Ernie Johnson is not a golf broadcaster.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of. I love it. I love it for basketball, but not for golf.
No, he is. When you hear him talking, you're like, "This, you don't belong here. This isn't right."
I think at the point that they're like broadcasting, like the golf sickos are the ones that are watching. Like you're not capturing the audience of the NFL playoffs. Like the NFL, like maybe the weekend warriors that play golf once a month might be watching. But if you don't grasp their attention quickly, they're gone. And the ones that are 100% going to at least tune in are golfers, like real golfers. And if you can capture those guys, like that's where you're going to succeed. And if you can sprinkle in some of the, you know, like the meatheads or whatever you want to call them.
Yeah.
Not that funny, but.
Okay.
I got a question for you, Joe. When you say a golf sicko, that's like a broad umbrella.
Yeah.
Would you fit like purists, like old school purists, more like me? Or would you be more like the new style trap golf, hip hop, like that type of golf? Is it anyone that just loves golf, or is it?
I think because it goes hand in hand.
I don't know if purist golfers would be into that type of broadcast.
But a purist golfer would be into the golf course.
Yes, that's why I would watch it.
Right. And a
trap I don't think they showed the golf course last night in all its glory.
That's the issue.
That's the issue. They need to find a way to bridge the gap. And that's what they're not doing currently.
Record it. Edit it.
Yeah.
Hype it up with previews and then put it out there.
Yeah. I think they are on the right track. They are trying, and I think they'll get there. At least I hope they get there. You know, and I think they need
to. I don't think these things are going away.
No, they're not going away. But I think they need to go watch some Shell's Wonderful World of Golfs and just see why that was successful. I mean, it was a different time, but what did they do to make it special in their time, and how do you adapt it to now? And they'll be successful.
What if they did a PGA Tour Live crossover? Take two guys from Live, two stars from Live, two stars from PGA Tour, and put them in that thing. Call it the match.
I think it'd be great. It'd kill it.
Yeah,
probably.
Yeah, that would be, and they can have like, you know, MMA matches in between, like right.
I would love to see them go against, play that. You know, what was that course outside of Purcell Farm where Bob lost his rangefinder?
Meadows.
Meadows.
Yeah, like have them go play the Meadows.
That would be amazing.
I would be down for that. You know.
I still kind of want to see him play some sick courses though, because I like Jeremy.
Dude, the Meadows was sick, bro.
Hey Dan, that's another we were talking about. That's another golf course around you quit.
Did I really start though?
I don't think so.
No,
I think I played what, two holes,
two or three holes, and Joe was done.
I gave up after like eight, but I still hit shots though the entire time.
Me and Bobby were like playing. We're like, we're the only ones playing right now.
I was drinking and smoking.
Matt was trying to hit his PB, bro. He was like, I'm fucking out here, bro. We just played Purcell Farms. I'm trying to ace everything.
in the dirt.
With tree trunks and roots everywhere.
Oh, hey, Joe.
I don't care if I break my wrist.
Ask the Podcast Nation about your free relief that you want.
Oh, the tree trunk?
Yeah. Dan, did you hear about this?
No.
Oh.
So if a tree, I mean, I'm sure it's not free relief. I mean, I played it as not free relief, but
I'll show you a scorecard what he wrote down.
I wrote down a six. That's what I made up.
No, but you also wrote down a five if I get free relief.
I didn't write that down.
Yes, you did.
No, I didn't.
Well, somebody else did then.
Yeah, that must have been Nick. Okay. Shout out Nick. I didn't write that on my scorecard. but wow, what a comment wow. right here.
Look at that. What is going on? Apparently Africa needs to stop
spammers, HIV/AIDS. Bro. Look out, Colby. Watch everybody watch out for Colby West. Yeah. He might get in your messages soon.
Yes.
Looking for Bitcoin.
That shit was weird.
anyway, so if a tree is chopped down and there's just a trunk left over, is it considered ground under repair? Because it's kind of, I mean, I know it's not roped off.
Thank you, Dan.
But they could be in the process of getting rid of it. I played it.
Yeah, it's not.
It's not free relief. Sure, yeah, I know.
Yeah.
But I called everyone over.
It's another rule. It's like, it's modified, just like a divot or.
Yeah, at that point I was like, I'm not in it, but I called everyone over just to be sure. And they said, Nick said, play two. I played two. One was a par, one was a bogey. I wasn't too concerned. I was just trying to go after skins at that point anyway. But yeah.
So
I did get too close to the pins though.
Yeah.
Don't write your name down on CTP markers if you're not in the game.
Check your email.
You got two of them, Joe?
Yeah, you got two.
Yep. But I could have got wiped out, as Matt stated in the VGN email. Make sure you check your emails if you're in the VGN, because I got the money and you could have got the money if that guy didn't write it down.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
But thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
I got it.
I'm struggling with hitting greens right now. It has become a struggle.
Dude, if we played a par three course for that tournament, I would have won, because I was lit on the par threes. Yeah. I was lighting it up, and I haven't been that way in a long time. So
I played great on the par fives, which was surprising. Except, well, I made bogey on four after putting one in the ditch, so like a par.
I mean, to the pin on number three to 9 feet. I mean, that was a nasty ass pin.
Yeah, it was. I don't think I've seen it up over there either.
Nope. I was there on that tee box. I watched that shot, Joe.
Yeah, yeah. Dan and Jeremy right there.
Mm-hmm.
I thought I aced it, honestly.
I was right at it.
Oh.
No aces again. The streak continues.
That it does.
The VGN Tour is aceless.
Hmm.
A whole new crop of talent in it this year, so we may see one. We may see. Hey, and congrats to Omar Justo. He took advantage of the promo and won his membership back because he won his flight. It's 2 years in a row I've done that promo and that we've given away a free membership. So next year, keep your eyes out for that when we run that. Continue to do it, because I think that's pretty cool that someone new shows up, wins their flight, and earns a free membership. So congrats to him. And David Teeter, he was our other new winner. And Juju got the win.
Juju,
he's been playing a long time and had to play well down the stretch and won, because Aaron did he eagle 18?
Eagled 18. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow, that's a
good eagle.
How was the putt? Was it close, or did, because I don't think,
like, 20 feet?
Yeah, about 18-20 feet.
It was crazy. He almost dunked his five shot. Iron from 230.
Like 220, something like that. Yeah, he had five iron from like 220 something.
And then Julian came in and said he hit a seven iron into that green, which is even more disgusting.
What?
That's not fair.
Yeah.
I hit all of my three wood and was 60 yards short. I hit all of it. That's hilarious. It's a different game for those guys. Good lord. Oh, right. So you guys got anything else? I mean, this was kind of a short week. Not a whole lot going on. Not a whole lot of controversies, not a little hot takes. Do we need to have a little moment with that time or stat guy? Deep thoughts with stat guy. You got anything, Jeremy?
What can I offer?
I can showcase this. This is thanks to Whatnot.
Oh, that's the one. Okay. Yeah. It's a mallet?
Yeah.
Oh.
Nice little Betty Mizuno collab.
I was picturing that old blade putter. The old blade Mizuno Ben Hardy.
Rolled it out in the backyard this afternoon. The face, come on, can't focus. Face feels really good. Mm-hmm. Got a really nice brand new Super Stroke pistol grip on it. It sucks. I don't like pistol grip, so that's going to have to go eventually. But I don't know. I may just keep this the way it is and throw it in the collection.
What do you think about the milling?
Mm. What's that?
Well, there's a lot of people that don't like the milling of Bettinardi's. I've always liked it. I like the design and feel.
Is it an insert? It doesn't look like an insert. I mean, it looks like an insert, but it doesn't feel like an insert.
I'm not sure.
I don't know. That's before my time, sir.
I think it's a carbon insert, isn't it?
Yeah, it could be.
But it feels really good.
You guys know the story about when we played, me and Matt met, and then we played the SNGA tournament at Cascada, and then I putted like shit, and I went and bought a Bettinardi, right?
Oh, yeah, that's right. You did. No, you had... Yeah, you did, didn't you?
Yeah, I think me and Matt met at Shriners, and then he talked me into joining Cascada Winter Classic for SNGA.
Andrew was there, and it was raining. And
it was a two-day, and putted like shit. And I was like, I need to go to the store and buy a putter, because my putter is, I don't even know what I had. I think I had the...
You had the Stroke Odyssey Lab, two Odyssey. Ball O-Works. Yeah, yeah. You gave it to Mikey.
Yeah, and these guys are like, yeah, it's trash. It's not milled. It's fucking fake. It's bullshit. So it's like, let's go to the store now.
Sounds just like me.
So yeah, I went and bought a
Bettinardi.
Yeah.
Was it the same one Bob had?
No, it was the series where it was black and then like yellow neon paint fill kind of situation.
Yeah, what did you do with that?
I think I sold it, but I did putt really well with that.
Yeah,
I did enjoy that putter a lot.
Mm-hmm. Was it the same style that you?
I think you would like this, Dan. I think you would like, because based on your Peretti putter, I think you would like the way this sets up.
But I mean, that begs the question, like, we're in the season of where equipment is popping up. Like, how tempted are you to change?
I don't know. You were flirting with a new driver head.
I did. Yeah.
What did you think about the, away smoke AI?
I don't know if it was a bad day for me or what, but it did not do what I wanted it to do. So there's some testing and some fitting that might be involved in the future, but it was probably not a good idea to change a driver head going into a tournament, so that's on me. But it was fun to play. I mean, we'll see what happens, but there's further testing in.
Well, what did you like? What didn't you like?
I liked the feel. Didn't mind the look. I think it might be spinny for me. I don't know, but I also didn't play the ball that I've been playing typically, but so I bought more of those balls.
You guys give me shit all the time about changing stuff. Joe goes into the new driver head, a different ball.
Yeah, but tournament. When's the last time I done that? When's the last time I did that?
Exactly. So why the hell did you do it in a tournament?
I don't do it every round like you.
He's just bitter because I beat him two times in a row now.
I hit like, well, when we went to Paiute and I hit it and I was like, oh, perfect. I'm good. And then Julian's like, should I bring it? I was like, yeah, I'll play it. And at this point, it doesn't really matter to me, but yeah, it could have been better. I think there's more testing and more things that need to be done, but it was not a good spot to do it in or a good time to make that change, and that's on me. But I wanted to play something new, and that's what brought me to the question, like, how tempted are you to change things right now? Because there's everything coming out that's new right now, because it's tempting. It's like a temptress, you know? I want something new, but do I need it?
My new stuff will be hopefully coming back with me from Florida. So,
you going for sure? Did you find out?
It's like 90% right now. Ward's got a little medical issue going on that he needs to make sure he's okay before I come out there. So he got to take care of himself first. So if he's good, then yeah, I'm going to be there. Cool. Gonna meet Jay Martin in Miami.
Yeah.
Tear up the town.
Nice. You guys got to go to La Sandwichery.
Two white guys in Miami just wreaking havoc.
Just a minority for sure. Yeah, Miami's a little different. I like it though. It's cool. I mean, I'm looking forward to that.
When are you guys going?
End of April.
Yeah, go play the park.
About that.
Yeah,
that's what you should do.
North, but yeah.
Yeah, that's an idea, and there's some other places around there that may try to tee it up at.
We'll see.
All right. Well, it's been a long time since we've gone under an hour. I'm just not feeling so. I'm trying.
Your voice is hanging on for it by a thread.
Yeah, I am trying really hard, and my bed is like Matthew.
Come hither, son.
Come hither,
layeth thou head.
We need some quality time together. But hey, you know what though? The Whoop, it's on, man. It knows. It knows when you're not feeling good.
Does it predict it too? Like, does it give you a heads up? Things have changed.
No, it doesn't give me. It didn't give me a heads up. It's just like the. What, Dan?
Nothing. I don't know why. I just found that really funny right there. No, it didn't give me a heads up.
just the information that is.
Hey, temperature changes, your heart rate changes.
Yeah, but I knew I was sick before I didn't have to look at my Whoop app and go, "Am I sick?" I knew I was sick. But it's the information that you get from it. It's pretty impressive.
Fuck.
Let's see. Yeah. I'm sick. Yeah. Nope. Sorry, babe. You're gonna have to make breakfast this morning. App says I'm sick. See. Oh, well, hey, you guys getting golf? We got any golf plans? It's supposed to snow Sunday.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah.
Snow?
It's supposed to snow.
Are you serious?
Yeah, the NASCAR's in town, and it's supposed to snow this weekend.
Yeah, I don't have any golf plans currently, but I was trying to make some, so.
Joe, did you get this yet? Did you get this yet?
What, Dream Golf? No, I do not have that.
Bro.
Do you have to pay for that?
No, it's a free one.
I'm signed up on Dream Golf. What the fuck? So fuck Mike Kaiser. Come on, Mike Kaiser.
No, I just arrived today and I read one of the little stories in there. You'll love it. I know you will.
I have read the stories. Yeah, the Solstice story I've read. I read the Rodeo Dune story.
Jeremy, this is what you get when you go to Bandon. You get the Bandon Dunes Resort where it talks all about it.
Oh, wow. It's like a welcome pack, like an orientation packet.
You get this, the Sand Valley book. Talks all about
Valley.
Like every
there's golf.
Just booking up quick if you're going.
Golf journals. Up. There. Oh, here's a Pac-Tune scorecard.
Oh, wait, what are we? We're like.
Like, close how many?
Like, I got less than 6 months. Yeah, we're like 6 months away. 5 months, I think.
I got a counter.
Yeah, 5 months. Yeah. Almost 5 months. Next week, five months.
Oh, gosh.
159 days.
We need to book a vehicle.
That we do. We need Bob's assistance on that one. Because
has Bob come through with that yet, or what's the deal?
No.
Is he going to drop us all off at the airport and then drive up to Portland alone?
I hope so. I want him to. I think that would be a great story.
I want him to.
You're going to see choppers. Flying. We're following this 15 passenger cargo van as it drives 115 up the I-5.
Yeah. Well, at least the roads are banked out there, right?
In the mountains. Yeah. In the mountains there. All right. Well, that'll wrap it up for this show. Sorry, I'm not at my best. Thank you guys for hanging with me this evening. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. If you're on YouTube, thank you so much. Instagram, thank you so much. If you're on Instagram, go to YouTube. It's more fun on YouTube. You get to, you know, pop up things like this. Talking about the Masters. And if you have not gone on to iTunes or Spotify and given us a rating or review, please do that. We really pushed in the beginning for those and got a bunch. And then I just have not done it. And oh my God, Dan, I almost did it again. I want to give some love to the Golf Stop. They are a show supporter of ours, and I have been neglecting to showcase them. I'm working on putting a video together, and with the change over to StreamYard.
StreamSong. Let's do StreamSong too. I'm down
for the change over to StreamYard. I have not been able to do what I wanted to do with it. So the Golf Stop in Henderson, indoor TrackMan facility, great staff, great place to go. 24-hour access for members, 4 hitting bays. They got a bar in there, snacks. It's a great place. They're a supporter of ours, so we want to make sure we throw our support out to them. So be sure to check them out. And go join the VGN.
I did have one of the newcomers from VGN said he visited the Golf Stop for the first time a few days before his first VGN tournament. He said it was an incredible facility. I mean, very well taken care of. He's like, the guy just basically handed me a beer. He's like, I wish there was one closer to my house. You know, he traveled across town to go check it out. It's
you'll see our
it's an immaculate spot in there. I mean, it's the best indoor golf facility you're gonna find in Las Vegas currently. There's nothing better. Go check it out.
I agree. Thank you to them and their support. And Roars and I are working on a segment that we're going to be doing separate from this. And that is going to be, it'll be YouTube exclusive. We may run them some episodes as podcast episodes, depending on how it goes. But it's going to be me and him talking the world of fitting and club building and all the stuff that he does on a daily basis. So look forward to that coming. Probably springtime is when we're going to be around to getting to do those. So just more golf content coming your way from the CDP.
No Panthers talk, though, right? Okay.
He sends me glass photos of him on the glass all the time.
Yeah, I don't care.
I'm like, I don't care.
I don't care.
Hey, I love you, brother. I don't care.
I'm glad you're there, but I don't care.
Yes. I hope you're having a good time. I hope they... All right, Joe, bring it home on this sickly episode of the Chasing Daylight Podcast.
Yeah, look, this was the sickly episode of the Chasing Daylight Podcast. These only happen probably once a year, but you were tuned in and we appreciate you for listening the entire way. We got a break this week on golf, pro golf. Or is Jetta this weekend? Jetta's this weekend, right?
No, Liv is this weekend, and then the
okay, PGA so we got National. Liv this weekend, and then
PGA no. National. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You're right. Cognizant. Next week's Arnold Palmer. Okay. I'm looking at a wrong app. Anyway.
Your lead is dwindling in the CDP versus the world, too.
That it is. But I'm picking Charlie Woods this week, and he's winning, and I'm skyrocketing into the top. So I'm going to leave all y'all in the dust. Anyway, thanks for listening to Chasing Daylight Podcast. We'll see you next week. Until then, make sure you get out there chasing daylight or hit some divots or hit some balls with crooked spins. I don't care. Just go enjoy yourself, and we'll see you then. Later.